Good morning, Ebenezer family and friend. It is so good to be able to connect with you one more time. I know you see all of these symbols on the back. We're going to talk about direction. Yes, as God is fulfilling the calling that He's placed on our lives, there are directions. He gives us directives, and we're supposed to obey those things. And so we're going to talk about being leaders within our lives. We have to stay submitted to the Lord. I want to thank you so much for allowing God to use you, that in this season of darkness, there's a lot of darkness going on, any amen, that He wants us to be His lights in this world. Thank God for ebcnc.com that enables us to stay connected. I know you may be on vacation, or maybe you've got some illness within your life that keeps you in the house, or maybe you're in a nursing facility, or maybe you just need a refresher of the message or worship time. God has blessed us to have ebcnc.com so that we can get encouraged. We've got all kinds of things that are going on. We've got Monday manna. We've got Tuesday noonday Bible study that we are actually studying the book of Genesis, getting history background. And then we've got our Wednesday Bible study on that virtual connection at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Luke, the teachings of Christ. And then we have an in-person Bible study that's on Thursdays at 6 o'clock right in our sanctuary. It has been growing tremendously as we are teaching on the book of 1 Corinthians and applying that to our lives, that we can be better saints of the Lord as we're, again, learning about our callings. And then we have our 8:45 in-person and 10:45 in-person and 10 o'clock online. So I want to thank you so much for praying for all of those services, that we can truly, again, grow in the Lord. Again, thank you for your giving. You've just been great. You've been a great support. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to purpose in our heart, not give out of being grudgingly or necessity, but He really wants us to realize how blessed we are. Any blessed people out there, just put some emoticons, some claps, just say, thank you, Lord, for blessing. He has, in spite of all the stresses, He has blessed. So I just want to thank you for being those type of givers. Whether you're giving into our secure mailbox, sending it in, or you're in our in-person service and you're giving within the service, or you're using our app, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of your giving, God has allowed us to reach out to so many. So many are going through. And I just thank God for putting us in a position also to keep up our virtual connections and the things that we're going on, to support our young people, our middle age, our old people. When God uses us together, what amazing things happen. So again, I just want to say thank you, thank you. Well, I'm thinking about the service. I'm thinking about the worship. I'm thinking about how God is going to prepare our hearts today as we get into the Word. And I want you to just be in prayer and thank God for allowing you to be here today, that we can grow together. You be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
26, it says, thus the Lord says, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast, of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the sons of Ammon, and the Moab and all those inhabited in the desert, who clip the hair on their temples, for all the nations and uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel and uncircumcised of the heart. Thank you.
You're my set free.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Any amens out there? It's just like, thank you. Can you put in the chat, thank you, Lord? So often we do. We take his grace and his mercy and his abilities that he gives us. And I just want us to celebrate him through our life, especially as we're getting back into this series of fulfilling our calling, just striving to hear the voice of the Lord in everything that we do. Before we go any further, I want us to go in a word of prayer. I ask you to pray with me also. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this day that you've made, Lord. And your word says that we're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We just welcome your presence. If there is someone that's viewing or listening that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised him from the dead. And you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We thank you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're in this series of looking at the callings that God has put on our lives and realizing he is the only one that can fulfill them within us, I want us to go back to that memory scripture. And when we get into that memory scripture, we have been talking about over and over again about getting it into our minds so it can seep down into our spirits. So we want to get it into our minds so it can seep down into our spirits. We do that by reading it aloud. So I ask you to go to 1 Corinthians 6:19 with me. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And I want you to read it with me. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That does something. Let's do it again. I know we just do it one time, but I really want us to kind of process that 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That is good news. Today I want us to go to our focus scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 15, around that 11th verse, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and 11. On last time we were dealing with Jonathan, and today we're going to deal with that first king of Israel, King Saul. It reads, "I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night." I want to speak from a title today, Don't Turn Around. Don't Turn Around. From last time, I do want to walk a little bit more within that history so that we can really get a pinpoint view of where we're going today. I just wanted to celebrate Jonathan, and he walked in faith. But in leadership, there are also some downsides. There are some challenges to being a leader. And King Saul actually gives us an example of really what not to do today. From last time, we were in that 1 Samuel 14:6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains." And then it looks at says, "The Lord by saving by many or by few. And we talked about, use me, Lord. Jonathan being used, him and his armor bearer to take over many men by the power of the Lord. And you remember there was an earthquake. Just some points in review from that message. We talked about the desires of the heart. Jonathan had a desire to be used of the Lord. We talked about step out on faith. We saw him really step out on faith with just him and that armor bearer walking in your calling, knowing that the Lord, once we submit ourselves, he orders our steps. And then we talked about the fleece. Remember that? Putting out that fleece to the Lord. God works in mysterious ways. And then when God shows up again with that earthquake. Time frame is about 1000 BC. Yes, 1000 BC. And as we enter into this story, remember King Saul from last time, he has really been lazy in his leadership. He is starting to go astray. He is actually walking away from God and not coming into the presence of the Lord. 1 Samuel 15:10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments, and it grieves Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. First point, finish strong. Yes, finish strong. Samuel the prophet at that time, he was the one that had anointed King Saul, that first king. Samuel before Saul, he was the only one in essence that was set up in authority to hear the voice of the Lord and disseminate what he heard to the people. But the people wanted a king. They had cried out, we want a king. And Samuel felt bad. He thought it was something that he was doing wrong. But God said, no, we're going to give them a king. Israel just wanted to be like everybody else. It was not God's perfect plan, but God had a bigger plan for Christ, our true king, to come for. So now King Saul has been walking. He had been blessed by the Lord. He was celebrated by the people that were around him. But something happened within his life and his mindset. And I still want to lift up that point. We've got to finish strong. It is not over till it's over. There's so many temptations in this life. Any amens? That all of us have temptations. We have stresses that come upon us. The enemy's goals are to keep us from actually walking in what God has for us. He wants to keep us from walking in the fulfillment of our calling. John 10:10 really gives us a concise picture of what the enemy is about. The thief comes to steal, except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I have come, Christ says, that we may have life and that we can have it more abundantly. So we have those contrasts. And here the enemy is doing all he can do to pull King Saul down. Look closely at that 1 Samuel 15:11. Samuel says, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king, for he has turned. And he's speaking from God. He's the voice piece from God. For he has turned back from following me. Don't turn around. And has not performed my commandments. God says, I've told Saul what to do over and over again, but he is consistently deciding to do it his own way. There may be times, though, that we see our brothers and sisters have failed. They have not done exactly what God would want them to do. And for the New Testament believers, I wanted to bring out these scriptures that I'm getting ready to read so that we can be encouraged, that we can encourage those. You know, God is full of grace. Can you put in the chat grace? G-R-A-C-E. He is full of grace. And all of us have sinned and fallen short. And so what do we do when we see someone faltering, even in leadership? Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. This is our step to try to restore. And please, even in the Old Testament, Saul, God had shown much grace. God had tried to restore Saul so much, but he was refusing to stay on the path, but he was turning around. Look at 1 Samuel 15:12. So when Samuel, that prophet, rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Here's a point. I want to get this one. Pride. Can you just put that in the chat? Also, pride. Now, this is a big one, and we see in Saul's actions where his mindset is at this point. God begins to show that the downfall of King Saul is really of his choosing. He's allowed pride to rise up. Proverbs 16:18 really lets us know what pride can do. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Also, Proverbs 25:27 says, it's not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Saul was really focused on building monuments to himself. Literally, we see that within the scripture. He built a monument to himself to celebrate himself instead of lifting up Elohim, Almighty God. We must be careful about that. John MacArthur, he really gives us a picture of what's going on. He says, this foolish act of contemptible pride was Saul's expression of self-worship rather than true worship of God, and another evidence of his spiritual weakness. We're seeing this over and over again. Benjamin Franklin, he actually gave a powerful quote talking about pride. He said, in reality, there is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Don't turn around. Look at 1 Samuel 15:13. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Stay with me as this unfolds in that 14th verse. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. Here's the point. Get this one, please. Excuses. Yes, excuses. So we're seeing we wanted King Saul to finish strong, but he's not doing that. We want him not to turn around, but he is. He is allowing pride to rise up within himself, and now we're seeing excuses come out. He is not willing to admit that he's wrong. Now this is critical. When he's confronted by Samuel directly, he comes up with this elaborate story again, 1 Samuel 15:15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. This is what I really want us to focus in on. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Notice he said, we took some, we did some of what God told, but you know what? We wanted to do sacrifices, and this is what the people did. Excuses. But again, God told Saul, King Saul, this was directly, I want you to destroy everything. I don't want you to keep anything. But he was leaning to his own wisdom, his thought pattern. How many times do we fall to our own rationalizing schemes? We fall to our own trying to figure it out, our own logic. But we got to learn how to cry out to the Lord and say, God, not my will. Remember Luke 22:42, Jesus gave us this example saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We see here, as we look at King Saul, all he had to do was just admit that he made the mistake, admit that he didn't do what God wanted him to do, but yet he stands on his excuses. Notice it gets worse. Don't turn around. 1 Samuel 15:17. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, Were you not head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Here's the point, humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. As we look closely at 1 Samuel 15:17 again, it says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? There was a time in Saul's life that really he realized that God was everything. And 1 Samuel 9:21, going back into the past, this is what he says. Why are you telling me this? Saul asked. I'm from Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my clan is the least important in the tribe. And so he realized, even when God chose him to be that first king, he was like, I'm a nobody. I'm from the smallest clan. We don't have much authority. But God said, this is why I want to use you, because you're not depending on yourself. But yet when he became king, a change, a transformation took place. People started to celebrate him. And because of that, he got the big head. Pride was set in, as said before. And because of this, now he is not humble before the Lord. He is not walking in obedience to the Lord. We must never forget where God has brought us from. Any amens out there? We cannot forget God's, again, grace that he has shown within our lives. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, anybody know that? But Saul is confronted again with this question of obedience in 1 Samuel 15:19. He says, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Samuel hones in on that, the prophet. Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? He's asking Saul, really, just own it. Just tell the truth so we can work through this. But Saul, King Saul, will continually hold fast to his version, his thought pattern. John H. Sammons in 1887, he wrote this powerful song. It says, when we walk in the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on the way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. As God is fulfilling his calling in our lives, he wants us to trust him and obey and do it his way. And I'm telling you, the enemy is going to try to do all he can do to get us sidetracked. But when we trust the Lord, he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Don't turn around. Look at 1 Samuel 15:20. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Hear it again. And gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Well, we know he has not utterly destroyed everything. 1 Samuel 15:21. But, somebody say but. Can you put it in the chat? But, this is powerful. The people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgad. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. That 23rd verse, for rebellion is of the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. One word, responsibility. Yes, the point of this is responsibility. Samuel the prophet is speaking to Saul and saying, man, Just take responsibility for what you did. You didn't do all that the Lord had called you to do. And saints, even before we get into it, we've got to look at our lives and the callings that he's given. Have we taken responsibility for those callings? They're serious that God has put within our lives. We've got to come to the point of saying, God, use me. God, I want to be used more. And oftentimes, as we're traversing through this, again, the enemy enemy, he's hitting us hard. 1 John 1:9 lets us know when we make mistakes, there is a remedy. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? God has given us so many outs to enter into his forgiveness and his love. But King Saul here, he doesn't take this path. Notice Saul gives us an example of what not to do again in 1 Samuel 15:21. He says, but the people took of the plunder. Notice, he doesn't take ownership of him, responsibility of him being the leader, the king of the time, giving the directives of the people. He blames it on the people. That's one big fault as God is trying to fulfill his calling. We blame our lack of doing on somebody else. If such and such would have done more, if such and such would stop doing, or such and such took this, we make so many excuses, not realizing that when we get into God's will, all things are possible. We've got to take responsibility for the calling that he put on our lives. Apostle Peter, he encourages us in 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Can you put in the chat? Sure. This is powerful. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you willing to take responsibility for the calling that he's put in your life? And to take responsibility is to stay at his feet, to stay in prayer and say, Lord, I need you. We make so many mistakes, but anybody know that we serve a big God that's more than enough? Look at this story as it continues on in 1 Samuel 15:24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Stay with me. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, hear this, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Here's the point. Fear of the people. Yes, fear of the people. Now the tension is a text that we read. He said, I've sinned, you know, I've messed up. So our looking at you, like, okay, we talked about grace. God can restore. He can. But what we're going to show you as we look at this scripture, and the scriptures are revealing that his repentance is not sincere. This confession that he makes is not sincere. Really, all he wants to do, he wants Samuel to just agree with him and encourage him and say it's going to be okay. When we repent, when we make mistakes, we have to have a sincere heart to know that, God, I have really gone against what you told me to do. Fear is one of the big things that's really overtaking King Saul at this point. Fear can lead you into so many mistakes. Look at that 1 Samuel 15:24. He says, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That's why he's really gone down this path. That's why he's really walked in pride, because he had fear of other people. What things have we done because of fear of people? Out. Yeah, how many crowds that have we been apart because we were just afraid? Maybe it was in high school or college, and we did things we really didn't want to do, but we were afraid of what people were going to say about us if we did it God's way, while trying to please people that don't even care about us. Any amens? So often we do. I want to please such and such and such. We say within our mindset, but these people don't even care about us. Jonathan McReynolds, he has this song that my wife sings so often. He says, they are the best and the worst you've created, loving and hating and opinionated, loners in basements and those congregated. Deliver me far from the peace, from ashore I was sinking, deep in the ocean of thoughts they were thinking, don't know what validation I was seeking. Deliver me from people, any amens? When you said you could heal me from many things, did you mean people, deliver me, because I can't point them out. I won't say their names. I don't know the damage or which one to blame. It's just people, deliver me. Saul has this issue of people, and really all he had to do is cry out to God, help me to follow your will, but yet he chose to lean to his own self. He chose his own decision-making process. Theologian E. Henson really captured that moment, as we said, looking, okay, was Saul sincere? No, he wasn't sincere. That this is not true repentance is understood by Saul's continued attempt to shift the blame to people. Saul claims to have feared and obeyed the people, but he should have feared and obeyed God instead. If Saul's repentance had been genuine and his request for pardon sincere, God would have granted forgiveness, but they were not. And Saul had shown again that he had rejected the will of God for his own will. I'm talking about don't turn around. We must never forget when it comes to fear striving to come in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Apostle John also encourages us in this battle against fear. That's what the enemy tries to bring in our lives to get us off track so that the calling will not be fulfilled within our lives. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Don't turn around. Let's walk through these final verses in 1 Samuel 15:27. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel, the prophet, said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." 1 Samuel 15:29. "And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent." Final point. To much is given, much is required. Yes, to much is given, much is required. As God is working this calling in our lives, I was talking to my wife, and as I was talking to her, I started to realize that the scriptures are so true. Luke 12:48, listen to this. "But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with you. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more." What God is saying is that we've got to realize, as God gives us and fulfills our calling more, there's going to be more required of us. Saul was the king of this time. He was required to hear the voice of the Lord, to walk in his will. When he started to go his own way, it became problematic, because the only way he could fulfill the kingship of Israel was to listen to the voice of the Lord. And I say it to you and myself, the only way that we can walk in the calling that God has upon our lives, we have to stay close to the Lord and follow his will. Saul, being that king of Israel, he chose his own path. We said that over and over again. I want you to get, he chose to turn around. What a vivid picture in 1 Samuel 15:27. "And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore." Saul was trying to control the situation, and because of that, he's like, "No, you're not going to go anywhere." He reaches out, and when Samuel turns around, that his robe was actually torn. So Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." We know that's going to be King David, that second king. Well, Saul continued, even after this, to go against God's will. But I'm so glad to let you know there was one that walked totally in God's will that was much better than King Saul. You know him, King Jesus. Jesus really gives us the example of how not to turn around, and we see it early in his life. At the age of 12, he told his earthly mom and dad, he said in Luke 2:49, he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" In order not to turn around, we've got to stay focused on the father's business. At the age of 33, the devil, as he was in the wilderness being tempted, it. He said so many things, but I love this in Luke 4:8, teaching us how not to turn around. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." There ought to be some amens to say that's what you got to do to keep from turning around. When the enemy is coming at you, you got to tell the devil to get behind you. I remember my granddaddy, before he went to heaven, he would sing this song, "I got the devil under my feet." And there's so many times we've got to realize with God on our side, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what the enemy brings our way, God is always going to be faithful. But I'm so glad after Jesus passed the test of the wilderness, we see him in Luke 4:18. He gets up in the synagogue and speaks these words because he is not going to turn around. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I'm talking about don't turn around. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That's what God wants for our lives. He wants us to stay focused on him and be able to stand and say, "Yes, God is using me. God is fulfilling the calling that he's put within our lives." But please, he doesn't stop there. Jesus heals the sick and even raised the dead, but he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and shows us we're going to be under attack as we're walking in what God is calling us to do. Luke 22:44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." I'm telling you, I am so glad for a Savior that shows us how not to turn around. But he goes to the cross of Calvary, takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet. There he dies on the cross for us, for our sins and our griefs, staying focused on the calling that was on his life. They put him in a cold grave, and 3 days later he gets up with all power and glory to encourage us even now as he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us that we don't have to turn around. Though the enemy come at us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord has already raised up a standard. Remember, as we looked at King Saul and his failures, we can know that in Jesus we can make this. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us that truly orders our steps. Saints, I encourage you. There is a special calling in each one of our lives that God wants to use in this season, in this time. Maybe you're saying, "Pastor, I'm being used. I know my calling. I'm sensing that." And I want to encourage you, God wants to use you even more. More souls need to be saved. Any amen? To come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. And he wants to use us. But I realize some of you are under attack. Some of you have turned around years ago. But please, no. Confess that sin. God is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness and get you back on track. I love the scriptures tell us that God is a redeeming God. And that redeeming within the scripture, it actually means he can buy back time. Any hallelujahs? No matter how much time you've wasted, no matter how many times you've turned around, I want you to know when you submit yourself to God, God can get you back on track and he can do so much with you. No matter how many mistakes you've made, please hear me. I believe this is a prophetic word. God can still use you. He can still fulfill the calling in your life. All you have to do is take responsibility. All you have to do is say, "Lord, use me for your service." If you don't know Jesus, the first step is really to commit to him. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. Not so much just repeating the words that I've said, but a relationship to really go, "God, without you, I'm nothing. I need a Savior." And guess what? His name is Jesus. It's so good to know as he begins to work in us, he can bring out the beauty within our lives. We have a treasure in these earthen vessels. To the saints, let's step up. God wants to use us in amazing ways to shine brightly in this world as He fulfills our calling as we submit to Him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, as we look at King Saul, we have learned what not to do. Thank you for even allowing it to be in the scriptures to see where he made mistakes, Lord, so that we can quickly run to you and confess those sins. Lord, I thank you for the souls that are being saved. Even when we've made mistakes, even when we failed you grievously, thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for his blood, Lord. Even though the enemy is attacking hard, God, we thank you that you have put a fence all around us. What you have for us, it is for us. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you for keeping us from turning around. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Carry on for Jesus everywhere you go. Let the hope and glory be the seeds you sow. Like a streaming beacon through the darkest night, guiding souls aright. Carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry on for him while you're below. Step by step, when rugged paths are dim. Carry on for him. With a heart most kind, each loving given or comes upon for we see Christians filled with form. He will burden hearts for the lost today. Just carry on for him. Carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry on for him while they're below. Step by step, though rugged paths are dim. Carry on for him. Heaven's joys extended richly and complete. Where someday through faith those veterans knew we'll meet. Upward, onward, conquering as the sword we meet. Oh, by strength and sheen. Oh, carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry on for him while you're below. Step by step, by step, where rugged paths are dim. Carry on for him. Just carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry on, carry on for him while you're below. Step by step, when rugged paths are dim. Carry on, carry on for him.